There comes a day when we all find out for ourselves. The wants we have, the words to say, there's no one left to tell.
Good evening and welcome back to City of Angels Radio. I'm Bernadette and we have Art over there.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you tonight?
And I have two special guests with me. I have Sean and Nicole. Can you say hi?
Hi, I'm Sean.
Hey, I'm Nicole.
Hi, guys. Thank you for being here. I'm still out of breath because, you know, we were rushing as usual. Story of my life. It's really great to be here with both of you guys, especially... you know, because you guys are a huge part of my recovery network. And I met Sean many, many years ago. We were actually in treatment together.
2012.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
Very long time. And did IOP and the whole shebang. And then met Nicole shortly after that. And they are all a part of my recovery family. And Sean just drove from the shore.
Yeah, Egg Harbor Township.
That's so great.
I want to give a shout out to my roommates, Devin and Justin.
That's
wish you
so
guys could be here.
Maybe another time, too, because they have like baseball or something, right?
Yeah, softball.
That's good. So, recovery in your life. What does it mean to you as far as, you know, the gifts of recovery you've been given?
The gifts are endless. I mean, they just keep on coming. I have a relationship with my family. I have a relationship with myself.
Mm-hmm.
I went back to school. I'm getting a formal education. You know, that's something I never, ever thought was going to be possible for me. I was accepting of the fact that, you know, I was going to die out there. And that's just like what my life was going to be. And I was okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that way today. It's amazing.
No, you have a lot of things and relationships with people and a home now. You have dogs. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And Sean has his own place too.
Yeah. To me, recovery, like what Nicole was saying, if I can sum it up in one word, it means freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow, man, I don't know. Like, just the ability to come out and do something like this, like something I've never done before, that can only happen for me not using drugs and staying clean.
Right.
You know, I don't know. Somebody today asked me, like, you know, how much time do you got now? And there was like this amazing moment where I realized, like, there was a time when like I couldn't get a day, and now it comes to a point where I got to check an app on my phone to remember how many days it's been. You know, it's like this.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a cool thing.
Truly is.
It's a cool inconvenience to have.
Yeah, I know. And it's seriously, like, to me, recovery is just, it literally is, like you said, freedom. And it's beautiful. And, you know, there's, people are still dying, like, left and right. Like, not a week goes by where, you know, you don't hear someone passing. Yeah. And the stuff that's out there is, like, worse than I think there it's ever been. I mean, I'm only, we're not going to say my age, but 30. But, so, in my, like, experience, like, what's out there now is a lot worse.
Way worse.
And maybe they said that 20 years ago, you know.
Actually, we were saying that last night.
Right. Okay, good.
I heard somebody share last week, actually, that he doesn't think that there's going to be these 20-year runs, these heroin addicts that have been out there for 20 years anymore. It's not going to be like that because it's not...
the same stuff.
It's not even heroin anymore. It's fentanyl.
Right.
And, like, you're going to die. And it's, you know, we're so fortunate that, you know, there is a better way and that we've found a better way.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't discriminate, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, I wanted to share, I went to the doctor's today.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to get blood drawn. And so the needles, all that makes me so uncomfortable and nervous, and I get butterflies and my stomach turns every time still, you know, 4 years later. And so I am honest about my past and my, you know, that I'm in recovery now. And so I told the phlebotomist, the lady taking my blood, like,
I thought that was a dinosaur, by the way. It's true. I was like, is that a dinosaur? Okay.
And I told her, you know, sorry, you're going to have to like get through the scar tissue or whatever, and explained, you know, my situation to her. And she started welling up and, you know, with tears in her eyes. And her husband is in recovery. And she was just so happy for me. And I told her, like, you know, I'm going back to school. And, like, I just had 4 years on the 1st of May. And, you know, it was just this beautiful moment that I was able to have with this complete stranger. Mm-hmm. You know, we hugged each other and, like, both of us, like, you know, happy tears coming down the sides of our face. Like, when I was using, no connection with anybody, let alone a stranger that I just met for 10 minutes, mm-hmm. you know, it's wonderful.
I'm like, I got, like, the goosebumps when you were sharing that, too. I'm like, that is incredible. And you never know. Because, like, if it's not affecting them directly, it's affecting somebody they know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what family doesn't have something with the disease of, like, addiction or, you know, recovery in their lives.
Yeah, it's like this weird thing now where, like you guys were saying, I remember being in the rooms, like, back in 2012, and nobody really, like, died. There'd be, like, one or two, I remember, mm-hmm. like, a year. And it's this, unfortunately, like, a positive side effect of, like, I feel like all the overdoses and everything is that we're kind of coming out, like, more into the mainstream, the idea of recovery and recovering people and stuff like that, mm-hmm. you know, because, like, it's kind of reached, like, this astronomical number now where people are like, okay, we gotta lift the stigma, mm-hmm. you know, like you gotta,
we need to talk about it.
Yeah, you got a phlebotomist that's talking about this. Like, that's something I feel like you wouldn't have heard of before, mm-hmm. you know, like, what do they say? Jail to Yale.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Yeah.
And, like, that's why I kind of, like, decided to do something like this, because, you know, we have to get rid of that stigma that there is no hope, that, you know, once you're an addict, you're always going to be that suffering addict until you die. Like, that's not the case. Like, there's a lot of hope, and there's a lot of people whose lives have changed, and, like, for the better. And those people that, you know, got into the whole recovery thing and saved their own life saves other lives as well. Mm-hmm. You know, that's attraction rather than promotion. And if anybody wants to call in, our number is 609-241-7103. If you have any insights or a little add-on to our conversation, feel free to call. I know, that always, like, doing that always, like, stops it for, like, a second, like, the flow
stalls
thing.
Stalls the conversation.
Exactly.
Just a little bit.
But it is what it is. But truly, like, for me, the recovery has been, it's gifted me so many things. Like, knowing how to be a friend now. I remember me and Sean would, like, drive to intensive outpatient together all the time. And just seeing him, like, I don't get to see him that often because we don't live near each other anymore. But being here, like, sitting next to him, I'm like, oh, my God, he's grown up. Like, he's, like, such a nice-looking young man.
I know.
Ladies, he's single.
He's not.
No, he's not. Never mind. Sorry. Sorry, girlfriend out there. I didn't know. But, yeah, you're just, like, grown up.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, it's really weird because I started doing this kind of stuff when I was, like, pretty young, like, mm-hmm. 19. I think I was in treatment for the first time when I was 19. And, like, it is, I don't know, it's just a trippy thing. Like, I feel like I've had this unorthodox early 20s, you know, but, like, I wouldn't trade it for the world because, like, it's kind of, I don't know, like, their kid, I feel like I got better stories than most 20-year-old kids,
right.
Like, my age, you know? I don't know.
I believe it. Yeah. I remember your 21st birthday.
Yeah, yeah, down the shore, too, mm-hmm. which is, like, weird.
That you're living down there now.
Yeah, it's weird that, like, you get to be, like, a total drug addict, and they just send you to, like, an awesome place.
You know? But with a lot of recovery, though.
A lot of recovery, yeah, you know? Yeah.
It's amazing. And when you went out there, were you you were in, like, a recovery house? Were you?
Yeah, I was in a recovery house in Summers Point, like, right outside Ocean City.
Very nice.
I went there for, like, 6 months, and the guy, Devin, that I live with now, his two roommates moved out, and he needed roommates badly, and you know, it was cool. Like, I didn't force the situation. It was totally, like, a higher power moment where, mm-hmm. like, this was offered to me. And it was something I could afford and handle at the time. And, you know, I've probably lived there longer now than I guess I was in the recovery house.
Right.
But, that's, like, they don't tell you about, like, getting a new place.
Right.
Like, when you first do it. Like, I'll never forget the moment. The day I moved in was the day after Thanksgiving. I drove from Delco back down the shore. I'll never forget the moment of, like, moving all my stuff in and being like, okay, cool. Like,
now what?
Now I'm going to relax. And there wasn't a TV on my wall. And I realized, like, oh, yeah, I got to buy a TV. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of sat in silence on my phone for like 3 hours waiting for somebody to come home.
Probably did a lot of thinking.
A lot of thinking, yeah. Yeah, like, I don't know. Unfortunately, like, there's no, like, home economics class while you're using, like, mm-hmm. at all. Like, I learned a lot of lessons, like, the hard way. I put Dawn dish soap in the dishwasher one time.
No.
I don't know. School of hard knocks.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a trial.
Was there a lot of bubbles?
Oh, man. It was, like, knee-deep with bubbles. Yeah,
that would be so much fun, though.
It went all through my vents. Right. Like in my kitchen.
It's funny now. It wasn't funny.
Yeah, exactly.
At the time.
Yep. It was probably the cleanest your floor has ever been.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it was just an unorthodox method. Mm-hmm. They called the Wright brothers crazy.
Right. That is so great. And you became like really close with them.
Yeah.
And you have like a support network everywhere.
Yeah, it's like really cool. Like, because I kind of feel, like, special because, like, when I got to, like, chair my home group, I'll get people from out of air. Like, I had Rob come and speak at my home group's Elevation.
I think Jeff came out one night.
Yeah, Jeff's come out, like, 3 times. You know, I feel like I'm, like, the Philly connection. Like,
it's
I'm,
awesome.
Like, the cool guy. It makes me feel cool.
You are the cool guy.
You are the cool guy definitely. Now.
Thank you. Thank you.
You always were.
I don't know. Nicole and Daryl had this terrible habit of, like, when they knew I was using, they had this terrible habit of showing up everywhere I was at and just, like, blowing my high for, like, an hour there, you know?
Don't they say that, like, once you get into the rooms that your high is never, it's always ruined or it's ruined?
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. Because, like...
Because you struggled for a little bit, like, coming in and out and in and out.
Yeah, I went out for a while and... There was always this, like, yeah, it never is the same after that. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, even, like, I remember going to COP and, like, driving by, like, the Glenn Olden Day meeting.
Right.
Stuff like that. And it's like, God damn it. And it just seems so hard to get back to it,
mm-hmm.
you know? But I don't know. There was some kind of plan for me that I didn't see at the time, I guess, you know? You know, yeah, it never really was the same. And I never want to find out if it's never the same either now.
Right.
Because this is pretty sweet.
The seeds were, like, planted.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's a terrible feeling, like, going and doing that every day, knowing that there is, like, another option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I couldn't plead ignorance anymore. Like, I knew it. I just didn't want to do it.
Right.
You know.
And I know I'm, when I first started coming around and, you know, me and Sean got really close, I went back out for a little bit, like, God, a couple weeks, I guess we would say. So I'm coming up on an anniversary tomorrow, which is awesome. But it's like crazy to think because I'm like, oh, well, if I didn't, you know, do that, I would have had more time or this. And the, but like it, sometimes at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It's like it matters of what I'm doing now and that I am, in recovery and I'm going to have 4 years tomorrow. And like, that's huge. I never thought I could get a day, like at all.
No.
And I didn't really want to. You know, and you just can't had an anniversary.
Just had 4 years on the first. It's so crazy that you say that. I used to try and like justify while I was like out there, like, oh, I don't have regrets. I just made like some poor choices. Like I'm fine with my life and how I am. But now, like, I actually do mean that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't think I could ever go back to school or make anything of my life, even when I first came in the rooms. You know, there's that saying, you know, if you put down a list when you first come in of the things that you think you're going to, like, accomplish when you come in, you're going to absolutely sell yourself short.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the possibilities of the life that you can have are endless. And even though... all of us have had our past and our path has been whatever it's been, you know, our lives are headed in such a like amazing, beautiful direction today. And so if you're out there and you're listening and you're struggling and you think, oh, I'm too old or I've tried too many times or, you know, my life is what it is and this is just how it's always going to be, like, that's not true and that's not the case because we've all felt like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're never too old. It's never too bad that you can't start. As long as you have a breath, you have a chance to like get better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's,
it's just that like that one spark of like hope that like we hope to give, you mm-hmm. know, those people. And that little bit of willingness that they need to just like to make a phone call or to walk into a treatment facility or to just tell someone that they need help mm-hmm. or ask for help.
Hardest thing in the world to do.
It is. It sure is.
Dial 10 digits.
It sure is. And even just asking for help in general is hard. Like we were driving here and I didn't want to ask Nicole, like I didn't want to be like, hey, hand me my wallet or hand me this. Like, you know, when we went to the store. So let me like reach over her and like into the bag and make all this like mess just because I didn't want to ask for help.
Yeah, that's exactly how you end up putting Dawn dish soap in a dishwasher. By the way. Yeah.
I can't even say anything because I did that too. So it's like just maybe it's one of those things. But I was waiting for Nicole to say if she said it did it, but she probably didn't.
I didn't.
She is more domesticated.
I didn't do dishes.
Oh, okay. She didn't do the dishwasher.
I didn't do the dishwasher. I didn't do anything. No, my biggest chore when I got clean was emptying the dishwasher, and that was a monumental task, you know? Yep. It was like, what do you mean? I have to do things? Because mm-hmm. for so long, all my life was using,
right.
And you have to relearn how to do
everything. How to even have a conversation with someone.
But it is amazing. It's amazing, mm-hmm. you know? You get to kind of... You know, we're so blessed in a way you get to experience life for the first time as an adult.
Hey, come on. We're superheroes. What
can happen? That's perfect. We are superheroes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Instead of, you know, as an infant going through all these things, you don't remember what it was like to do all these things for the first time. When I first got clean and we went to Six Flags, it was like the first fun thing I did in recovery. Mm-hmm. And like, I couldn't believe it, you know?
That people had fun in recovery.
I thought my life was over when I went into treatment because it was so fun and exciting when I was out there in my active addiction. Not really.
Right.
So not really at all.
Your disease only lets you remember the few fun seconds that you might have had.
Yeah.
But, you know, never again. That's the hope that people should have, you know, and that's what we try to bring with the radio station so people can hear your stories that there's life after addiction. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
The fun just starts after, you know what I mean?
Yep.
You become sober and you're willing to open yourself up.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah. Yeah. That's like when I was saying earlier about like recovery to me means freedom. Like, that's exactly what it is. It's almost overwhelming when I sit down and think about it. I'm like, what do I want to do with my life? Like, because there's really nothing stopping.
It's like
me
too
now.
Many choices.
Too many. Right.
Like, crap, this is like a really like hard question.
Right. And like addicts have like this insane drive that we can like, especially when we get in like the OCD like obsession mode, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, for like example, Buzz Aldrin was an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. Like, we go to the moon. Like, that's the type of people we are.
That's truth.
You know?
That's, like, a really good analogy.
Yeah.
That's
so, like...
Did you make that
awesome.
Up?
I just watch a lot of history.
Okay. I watch a lot of Ancient Aliens and Ghost Adventures and Ghost Hunters, but,
awesome.
You know.
Nice.
Either way, we can have a conversation about that anytime. But, yeah, that's, like... Gosh, it's the truth, you know?
Yeah. That was, like... I don't know. Like, it's like what you were saying, Nicole. Like... Getting clean and like if I like tried to, I feel like in like the first 90 days if I tried to set apart like a plan for my life, like I just would have been selling myself short.
Right.
You know,
I don't even think we could look that far ahead.
No,
at
but,
the time
but
no
like,
way
but like
and even if you tried it'd be impossible.
Yeah, like that. But like if you planned it during that time, like that's what separates someone being like a laborer their whole life or getting like a doctorate degree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like you could easily just, like, you don't realize the potential you have until, like, a little bit and doing a lot of work on yourself.
Right.
You know?
And sometimes you don't see it in yourself at first.
No. Exactly.
You know, you could see it in others.
Yeah.
But it's hard to see it in yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
We're definitely those people that love helping.
I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
See? Oh, my God. I used to love that movie, first off. Wizard of Oz, and I used to watch it so many times that I remember being little, maybe I was like 5 or something, and my mom telling me, and I don't know if this is true or not, that it broke the VCR.
We broke the tape. I did the same
so
thing.
So I don't know if I really broke the tape or she just said I broke the tape. But
we just say you broke the tape because we get tired.
That's probably what happened.
It broke. We lost it. It's somewhere else.
I feel like the things were out of the cassette tape too, and I was like, she pulled that out. She was done with that movie. the things you remember too.
I hated that movie.
Really? Well, because you were a dude. What do you?
I know, but like that movie scared me, and everybody's like,
oh, the Munchkins.
Yeah, no. What scared me the most as a kid? I guess I was more of a realist. Was the tornado.
Oh, I was thought you were going to say the flying elephants.
I remember.
Oh, yeah. That's what I meant. I'm picturing monkeys, but I don't know why the
elephant came out.
I remember,
sorry, Dumbo.
I remember my mom having to explain the topography of Pennsylvania. Like, no, it is too mountainous for us to have tornado Sean go to bed. Like,
it will not happen here.
Oh, my God. You remind me of my friend, Steve, growing up. He used to be afraid of El Nino, and he literally thought we were all going to die because El Nino was coming. Oh my God, this is great. See, like, not only that, like, all right, first, we're in recovery, which is great. Our recovery has given us so much. And, like, we're sitting here laughing about, like, Wizard of Oz and crap, like that. Like, even driving here, I'm cracking up because Nicole is talking on her phone, giving someone a recipe, right? To the, I don't know, Siri or whatever, so Siri can type it for her. But, you know, a little Italian in her. She's like, you sprinkle the cheese and then, you know, you make sure it's like, you know, it's baked, like doing all the hand movements. And I'm like peeing my pants laughing because she's sitting here talking to her phone, doing the hand movements for a recipe. And I'm like, what are you doing?
It's just how I talk. I talk with my hands.
La la la, spirit fingers. But like the fact that I could pay attention to that and drive at the same time. And just laugh, like that belly laugh that I don't remember getting when I was using at all. I don't think I remember laughing at all when I was using. And I don't know, like that in itself is a gift in recovery.
That's like my favorite thing to do. I think my favorite thing to do is laugh. I spend a lot of my day laughing, especially because like, I don't know, I just, you get to a point, you stop taking everything so seriously anymore, you know? Like, I don't know, that's why I like my job because the guys that I work with are really funny. And then just like, that's what it's all about for me.
Right.
I love to laugh, and I love just talking about like stupid scenarios that would never happen and things like that.
So you just said you love your job. Yeah. So like that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I can stand my job today too, and it's not a means to how am I going to find enough to like get more drugs. You know what I mean? Like, you were talking about in the beginning, like, I have a house today and a car and like I'm paying to go to school, like some semblance of like what a normal quote unquote life looks like. And you know what I was just thinking of when you were talking about like belly laughing and all this fun that we have in recovery? When we went to camping 2 years ago, we planned this camping trip and it was supposed to be this beautiful lake there, and they were repairing the dam and the lake was drained. So Bernadette has this amazing ability to make the best of a situation, and she brought her metal detector and they went searching for like hidden treasures in the muck of the bottom of the lake, and they had a mud fight and they came back like covered up to their knees and elbows in this disgusting
mud. And it
mud.
Smelled so bad. I mean, it was awful, the smell, but it was so much fun.
Yeah, it was like
I think the only thing we found was like hooks, like fish hooks that were like barefoot and trying not to like step on anything. But yeah, it was, oh, we have a color. Someone probably commenting on the muck.
I wonder who it could be.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Fern.
Hi.
It's Carly.
Hi, Carly. How are you?
Hi, Sean. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Carly.
Hey, Carly. How you doing?
How?
I'm here with Ella too, and we were just listening. And
hi, Ella.
Listening to you guys talk about your favorite things about recovery. Like some things that you like, and one of my favorite things is watching people like blossom. Like, we all come in broken, and when we stick around for a little while, we become awesome people. And I just wanted to tell all three of you how happy I am for you as the people that you are today.
Aw, thank you, Carly.
We love you.
And you're amazing and awesome.
Yeah.
And you just had an anniversary. Congratulations.
Yeah, Fern, and do you have an anniversary coming also?
Tomorrow.
I know. earlier.
That's all right, no worries.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm so happy for you guys, all three of you. I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thank you so much. We're so glad you were able to call in and little Ella girl listening.
I love you, Nicole.
Aww. I love you too, Ella. You're going to do awesome in your dance recital.
Yes, we saw the some of the videos. You look amazing. You're definitely the best one because you're in the front.
All right, guys. Have fun.
Thank you. Thanks for calling, Carly.
Bye, Carly. See you, Carly. Bye, Ella.
Bye.
Aw.
Beautiful.
So cute.
Carly gets to be a mom. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's a gift.
It sure is. Oh, man. Maybe one day.
Maybe. I'm a puppy mom for now.
Exactly. Me too. It's perfect.
Right.
Yeah, I got a betta fish.
Nice. Rufus,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Rufus. And like,
it's a good name.
It really put into perspective. Like, I don't get up and go to work just for myself anymore.
You got to get fish food.
I got mouths to feed. Yeah.
A mouth.
Yeah. What do they eat? Leaves?
No, they eat fish food. You know, you just get it from the pet store. Turtles are illegal to have in the state of New Jersey, so
You found a lot of turtles back in our day.
I may have allegedly had some turtles.
If you find any, Susan will take them. She has a nice little turtle farm.
You will find a turtle in the pet store in Jersey.
Yeah. You won't?
No, they're not about it. It's weird. I know.
I mean, that's cool. I mean, but I remember we would be driving, and all of a sudden we had to pull over because Sean had to save a turtle.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like turtles in the middle of the road, like, nonstop.
That's part of my job now.
Yeah.
It's
your calling.
That was down in South Jersey. I think it was somewhere around in Sea Isle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They had the signs the turtles were crossing.
Yeah.
That's probably where the turtles we were finding.
I work on the Margate Bridge, and we have those signs up, and I feel like all of our problems would be solved if we didn't tell the turtles this is the spot to cross at.
Right.
Like,
that was awesome.
Because they can read that sign.
Yeah, they probably can.
And the ducks crossing, they can read that too. I don't even think we can read the crossing for adults or kids sign, let alone the turtles. But it's just, maybe that's their habitat. Well, if you can't own them in Jersey, of course there's going to be a crap ton of turtles.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
Turtle.
But they're like not easy. Maybe?
Turtle.
I like turtles.
Oh.
Turtle.
Master of the sky.
Yeah. Turtle. Oh, I'm glad someone remembered it. Yeah. I saw that movie and it was not my favorite.
No.
I thought it was going to be so much funnier.
I haven't gotten to watch many movies.
I'll have to
lately.
Revisit that.
What did I watch recently? Get Out. That was good.
That was cool. Yeah, that was good.
It was really good. Did you watch the last couple of minutes of the alternate ending?
I did not.
It sucked. Don't.
I got it off. Actually, I didn't have the alternate ending because it was on my Fire Stick.
Okay. Yeah.
I also have the Fire Stick.
I just got it, but my brother has it because he's going to jailbreak it for me. Yes, I am still an addict and I'm not perfect. Whatever.
It's easy, though.
Daryl could jailbreak it for you.
Really?
It's really easy. All you do
isn't it like illegal? No. Okay, cool.
Because you're streaming.
Actually, you have to use the Amazon downloader to download
Kodi.
Yeah. And then after you download Kodi, you have to install what the heck?
Exodus.
Not well.
Ooh, Genesis. That sounds,
it started Phoenix. With an I before that.
I don't know that one.
That's how you install Exodus, at least on the new version now.
But it's good. Like, but then Bible you get all the versions. Movies.
Everything that's in the theaters, you can watch in the comfort of your own home.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet. I need to get it back for my brother.
It's streaming, so that's why it's not illegal, because you're not owning them. You're just streaming them temporarily.
Yeah, good.
We have the Kodi box, which is like a cable box with just Kodi on it, and it just sweeps the internet and finds like all kinds of stuff.
See, look at Recovery gives us options to like watch shows and movies. I don't even think I was in my house enough to watch anything when did you just burp?
No, I hit the thing with my ring.
Oh my god! Wait, so we're snacking on the way here, right? And she like burped, and she's like, "Oh my god, I hope I don't burp on air." I'm like, "Ah, I probably done it." So I thought she didn't. I've been like hilarious. I would have laughed. So
no,
hard.
I've been having a little bit of indigestion and.
See, there's his belly laughs. There's the laughs.
Is indigestion a gift of recovery?
I don't know.
Feeling indigestion is a gift of recovery.
Feelings are definitely a gift
Whether
of recovery.
They're the worst.
They're the best.
I mean, they're great, but like, they can be terrible.
It's a bittersweet
too.
Scenario. You could be feeling... Well, if like I've said this a bunch of times, I think. If you don't experience like pain, you don't ever experience joy. Goes hand in hand, yin and yang.
As the great American poet 50 Cent once said, joy wouldn't feel so good if it wasn't for pain.
Huh.
Yes.
I wonder if that's where I got that from.
Maybe, yeah.
What's his real name?
I believe his name is Curtis Jackson.
There we go. Yeah. Nice.
There's a movie that he's coming out with. No, a show.
Yeah.
It looks good. I saw the previews for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, we can just talk about whatever. Recovery and shows and... They were like, is there a protocol? I was like, not on my show. Oopsies.
Pretty open.
Yeah. Open book.
I like it. I almost forgot the microphones were here for a second.
See, because we're like, literally, I liked to compare it to the Howard Stern / recovery.
Oh, no.
Just like talking, you know, about life and things and how amazing life is. Like, I have not been to the beach in a little while, and I miss it so much. But, like,
me either.
Just the gifts of, like, driving to the beach whenever I want, the fact that I can, putting my feet in the sand, looking up at the full moon, and just being like, oh, this is perfect.
Because Bernadette's beach trip is in the middle of the night.
True story.
She's going to get the full moon.
Well, because when I drive down, I like to go at nighttime because there's no traffic.
Yeah. I'm all about it. I'm going to have no traffic going home.
Exactly. See? That Flipper.
That is her.
It is. Well, it's perfect, too. And then, like, see the little sand crabs and...
Little ghost crabs. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
You're going to the beach tomorrow.
I am going to the beach tomorrow.
It's supposed to be nice tomorrow, too.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
It was supposed to rain.
I know. We were panicking. You know, I can plan these things and actually leave the comfort of...
A rainy day at the shore is better than a good day at work.
Right.
True.
Yeah, it was Memorial Day week. My home group's in Ocean City on Sunday night at St. Augustine's Church.
Mm-hmm. What time?
7.
You might as well get the full shout out.
All right, yeah. Yeah. Promise of freedom.
7?
7 o'clock.
Nice.
St. Augustine's, Ocean City. But like it was like a miserable Memorial Day and people were still there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't know. I don't get it. It's like funny now how working and living down the shore, I've only been to like the beach like maybe 5 times.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it's there all the time. Yeah.
But I've gotten really into fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's become my tremendous new obsession.
Nice.
Yeah.
Anything in particular you like to fish? It's probably whatever. Good meditation. Yeah. Like.
No, that's the best part about it. I turn my phone off and I kind of just chill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can't beat that.
No, you can't.
At all. Have you ran into Zach?
Zach.
Down there? He was in treatment with us. He was on something down in Jersey.
Zach. No, I can't. Wait.
Mm-hmm. It's coming together now.
There's a Zach I know.
He was in treatment with us.
What's up, Zach? There's a Zach I know. He lives down near Wildwood. And he's originally from, like, Montgomery County.
It's probably him. He was in treatment with us.
Get the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm. Huh. He had shorter hair.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's who it is.
Hi, Zach, if you're listening.
What's up, Zach?
I've seen you do a lot of recovery stuff down there, so it's awesome.
Yeah, that would make sense. I think he has like the amount of clean time that would add up to that, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Wow.
It's so amazing.
That's really trippy.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah.
My mind is blown, man.
Blown.
Blown.
Woke. I'm woke right
You're
now.
You're woke. Yeah. Stay woke, bro.
Stay woke.
Oh, man, this is great. Just having two of my friends up here.
Have you gotten Pete up here yet?
No.
No? Pete, where are you at?
It's so great, though, like, how you guys are talking about this, like, common connection and, like, recovery brings things, like, full circle.
Mm-hmm.
My best friend in kindergarten, we were best friends. His name was Matt. We hung out together all the time. His mom, my mom were, like, friends. And then through, like, middle school, high school and stuff like that, we drifted apart. We're not as close. I went into treatment. And then I got clean right before Memorial Day. So there's a picnic at my treatment center, Memorial Day weekend, and he was there. And so our relationship had been rekindled, like, through recovery. Because mm-hmm. we were both, you know, had gone through this process. And it's just amazing, these full circle, you know, relationships. And there's so many, you know.
And that's why we have to show up for certain things like that. I don't think I've ever been to that picnic. And, like, I should. Because it's people like that are in there that were in kindergarten with you that say, oh, wow, they're doing it too. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have to show up to our home group and like to other meetings. And I mean, I can be guilty of it being busy and life showing up and just not feeling like it. But by showing up too, it's other people are saying that it's possible.
Absolutely. This girl told me that she didn't want to go to meetings because she didn't want anybody to see her there. But anybody that's at a meeting needs to be there just as much as you do. You know, there's nothing to be embarrassed or hide about at that point.
We're not anonymous anymore.
Right.
You're living in the solution. You know, you're working on the problem. You need to be ashamed and, you know, like hiding your face and stuff when you're out there. That's when you can't look people in the eyes.
You can't save your face and your ass at the same time.
That's when, you know, that guilt comes and like burdens you, you know.
I said that too when I first started coming around, but I was more concerned about the people seeing me go into the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
First off, I didn't even know there was such thing as a meeting at these places. So why would they know that there is?
Why would anybody else?
Unless
know that
they were
that's
going
what they
themselves.
Were doing. Right. Yeah. And it's just so funny. We were never embarrassed when we were out there doing our thing,
right.
You know, copping at God knows what hour, looking in whatever kind of
thinking
state
we looked all good.
You said you would do.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
You know,
thinking
no,
we looked all
no
good.
Embarrassment then, you know, at 92 pounds and I thought I looked good. Like
right.
No embarrassment then, you know, now it's like, yeah, gain some weight.
Eat that McDonald's, Taco Bell, what?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, actually caring about your appearance, like, and it feels good.
Or not caring.
And it's being fine.
Exactly. Just being fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
Being okay with being okay.
Yes. Or
what?
Not okay.
Or not, yeah, or being okay with being not okay. Exactly.
It gets a lot better when you stop caring about what others say.
Yeah, it sure does.
You know, when you realize that nobody really cares what
exactly.
You're anyway, you know.
Well, everybody's so much up in their own heads, too, that like nobody's really even paying attention.
But that was even in my day, and I'm way old, like before dirt. You know what
no.
I mean? But people still worried about what other people thought, and if they really realized how little people thought. You
right.
Know what I mean, they really wouldn't worry about it so much.
It's true. It's absolutely true. But when we're like so consumed, we think that we're the center of the universe. Even still, like I'll go to a meeting and there'd be like girls like whispering and I'm like, oh my God, they're talking about me. No, they're not. Yeah. You are not that important.
Well, you know,
sometimes
that,
I think I am.
Well, wouldn't that be, you know, one of the things of using is low self-esteem. So you think everyone's talking about
of course.
You.
All
looking
the time,
at
right.
You.
Right.
It's part of the disease.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
We're egomaniacs with inferiority complexes.
100%.
Nail on the head.
We're just walking.
Excellent problem solvers.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. This is true. And we're geniuses. Like, I honestly, there's sometimes I'll do something, I'm like, man, I'm a genius.
I remember there's like one story I always like to tell whenever I speak because I'm like proud of this hustle I put together.
Okay.
All right. Like, if we're going to go down this road just for a second, but, like, I remember needing money, all right? And
don't get any ideas, people.
No, this isn't that great of one, but it's, like, hilarious. I needed money at like, obviously, that's what we do. And I had this thing where I would take a bunch of blank DVDs and just write, like, the Oscar-worthy movies of the time on it. And walk around 69th Street Terminal selling them for $5 a piece.
You got that idea because I had so many bootleg movies that I would buy.
Yeah, and that's
they were actually bootleg movies, but that's probably where you got that idea.
Yeah, so I would just like...
Burn, look at all these CDs you got.
And I remember going into rehab and my parents are tearing my room apart. And they're like, oh, Sean, that's awesome. You got a copy of Deadpool? Why didn't you tell us? I'm like, it's blank.
It's blank. There's nothing there.
Blank. Yeah, yeah.
Man, you are a genius.
I guess.
We're very,
in Chicago,
very
man,
cranky.
Guys used to take like the movie camera boxes and put a brick in it and retape it back up, and they would sell them to the truck driver, but they would go before they would open it up. You know what I mean? to look and see what they really had. These guys are like $50 for a brick.
Right.
You know?
Oh, my goodness.
They were so mad afterwards.
Oh, those big like shoulder ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like 20 years ago.
Boom boxes. Oh my gosh. Like, what the things that go in our minds that's okay. At least we don't have to live like that anymore. We don't have to scheme. We don't have to like wake up sweating, trying to figure out who we're going to scheme that day in order to like get enough to feel okay to get out of bed. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't miss that one bit.
It's funny how, like, dramatically less, like, our problems become. Where, like, it used to be, like, okay, how am I going to get this crazy amount of money in, like, the next 2 hours without ending up in prison?
Right.
And, like, now I get really agitated if I get a leaky coffee lid from Wawa. Like, I've had that ruin my
I thought you were going to say the opposite.
I've had that ruin that my whole morning.
Right.
On, like, several occasions.
You just need to go back to bed then.
Yeah, sometimes.
Exactly. Perfect.
Well, I'm, like, crazy where, like, I'll let, like, something small like that just bring out every resentment, like, mm-hmm. ever. So mm-hmm. I get, like, one drop of hot coffee too much on my hand, and I'm angry at my second grade teacher.
See, for me, I'll, you know, have on a white shirt rarely, mm-hmm. and I'll drink coffee, and then I'll spill it all over me, like, because I'll have a hole in my lip or for whatever reason.
Oh, when I go away, I have to take, like, 5 shirts just to go out. Yeah. One pair of shorts, 5 shirts.
Yeah, because all the spilling, and it just, at this point, I just laugh. Like, you have to laugh.
It's right at breakfast. You're like, come on.
First thing of the day.
Yep.
You might as well just spill it over the whole shirt at that point. Now mm-hmm. your white shirt is brown.
Exactly. It's perfect.
Problem solvers. Got to be in the solution.
That's the truth. And then I'll just like, but I'll, if it'll happen in the morning, I'm just like, oh, well, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah. But like, that's what I'm like, that's it. Like, that's like.
If that was your, like, biggest problem, say today or another day.
Yeah.
Then you're doing something day. Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Or even like. Thankfully, like, it's all just, like, Cadillac problems. Like, 2 weeks ago, I went to go to Wawa on Sunday morning, and my car wouldn't start. And I thought it was going to be, like, this big, like, panic, you know? But it was actually, like, you know, put in perspective, like, this is a pretty cool problem to have.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, you have a car.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't start.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to look at it as it is what it is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm not a mechanic. I'm not going to try and be a
mechanic. You know what? But Your attitude could throw your whole day off. If that Absolutely. Happened to you in the morning, I mean, you're just...
If you're running late.
Like that. I mean, I would just go... The people amaze me that are like putting their makeup on and shaving. And, you know what I mean? And everything driving down the road. And I'm like, really? Like 70 miles an hour, swerving through traffic, putting their makeup on.
Why do you say makeup?
Because that's what they mostly are.
I love how I'm being pointed at.
I put my
seatbelt on. I can do it with my eyes closed.
I did not make that insinuation.
She did put her seatbelt on.
Burn was a good driver. She is a multitasker, though.
Sure. Nice way of putting it.
Yes.
Yeah. Sean's been in the car with me many times. Hold on for dear life.
Yeah, I'll always remember anytime the song Thrift Shop by Macklemore comes on. I'm taken back to Car Rides With You.
Yeah.
I remember that's when that song blew up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
those were the good days.
Is that when we were doing 110?
Yeah.
That was when I had my Scion, my sports car, so I could.
Oh, God.
Trying to get to IOP on time.
I know. Yeah, we were always rushing there.
Well, you were like the addict, like, bus for a minute there.
I know, picking up everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody and their mom, literally.
Yeah.
Or it was just like, I've run late a lot.
Yeah, I mean, we all do that.
But, like, I think, seriously, when I die, I want it to be in my, you know, whatever the paperwork has to be, that, like, you need to make sure she's late.
Mm-hmm.
Like, purposely, I need to be late. Is that awful?
I want to be automated, sit up in the coffin, wave. Hi, thanks for coming.
Oh, no. No, cremated, but, like, the box needs to be late. Everybody needs to be waiting there for me. The box. The box of my lovely ashes.
But ready? Like, that's cool. You have a plan. A little bit of a plan. Like, as morbid as this sounds, okay?
It's not to me, because I'm going to be here for a long time.
Have, like, an afterlife plan where, like, before, it was like, whatever, you know, I'm going to die. And no, like,
I'm
not even giving a thought to, like, oh, my family will have to, like, clean up this mess and, like, deal with
it. Not a thought
at
all.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-mm. I'm just so grateful. There's been so many times where my mom, like, has just looked at me, and she's just so happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is...
Seeing the joy in their face.
Gifts of recovery. Like, I'm not keeping her up wondering where I am.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because
we used to look at you like...
Yep. Absolutely. And that was me.
Yeah.
I looked at my girls for a long time with one eye open when they came in, man.
Mm-hmm. And it truly is amazing being able to, like, to go to, like, your family's house just because, and just hang out with like your parents and your siblings or whatever. Like, that's amazing.
Say hi, and they're not like carrying her pocketbook up on her shoulder to go to bed at night. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
That's not her life.
And my family didn't want to be around me for a long time. And I was just over my parents. Was it yesterday or the day before? I forget what day. One of the...
Because you are yesterday. Just so freaking annoying.
I know. No, but it was yesterday. And I was just hanging out for a couple hours, you know? And my little sister was watching a movie and I was like laying on her bed. And like, they wanted me to be there. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go. She's like, no, stay. And I'm like, all right.
But I remember when my daughter, when she was, you know, a few months into her recovery, actually even 8 or 9 months. I mean, there wasn't any conversations, mm-hmm. man. I mean, they were...
Zombie.
They were to them, yeah. But as time went on, you slowly saw her come back. And you know what I mean? Things started
The twinkle in their eye comes back. Twinkle in her eye. The light in their face.
She started caring about other people, remembering birthdays.
I still gotta write that shit down. I don't know about it.
Well, but I mean, she remembered them. You know, however she did, right? Yeah. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember when she didn't care about anybody else's birthday. I mean, it was she came in, robbed you, and left. You know, on your birthday.
Basically, mm-hmm. yeah. There was many times, Christmas, Thanksgiving. You know, going through my aunt's pocketbook, sorry guys, you know, but it was the truth of the situation,
mm-hmm.
you know. And today I drove up to my aunt's to visit her and her granddaughter and like hung out and said hi and got to hang out with a 1.5-year-old baby. And she trusted me like alone with the baby to like go do something really quick.
Mm-hmm.
That was not my life before. I didn't want to be anywhere near a baby
or family. Yeah, you didn't want to get caught either.
Well, if I wasn't getting something from you, if I wasn't benefiting from the mm-hmm. situation in some way,
that is how crazy the disease is. Like, that is literally
so
like
self-seeking,
self-centered, like just selfed up.
Mm-hmm.
And I still find myself at times like getting into that selfed up thinking.
Absolutely. But like, not perfect.
But. Because everything had to be planned, right? I mean, you had to make sure that you were set for the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's probably harder than work. You know what I mean? It's just making sure everything was in line for the next day.
Right. Yeah. Full-time job in itself.
It started like for the weekends, and then it was like the weekends and a Monday. And then it was like 4 days a week. Then it was I needed everything in the morning and at night. And then it's like I couldn't even get out of bed until I did what I had to do. Then I had to shower. Then I had to do it again. And then it was like half my makeup. Then do it again. It was like such a vicious cycle that I do not miss whatsoever. I'm like, I can't forget that kind of situation and that like how bad it got. Can't forget that. Because if I forget that, I'll go out one time. And it's like you go out one time, you're dead.
Dead.
There is no like go out one time and like, oh, make your way back. No, you go out, you're dead. That's the reality of it.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I mean,
I don't want to take that chance.
Sean was saying like maybe it was like one or two people a year, like 5 years.
Now it's one
ago.
Or two people every 3 days.
Yeah, like
actually it's 149 people a day.
Jeez.
Yeah, like that's yeah.
That's an epidemic.
That's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
It was 129 people a day. You would think it would go down. You know what I mean? In the midst of what we're in, and it actually went up.
Deaths, and that doesn't even include then the amount of people that were revived.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is just overdose deaths. That doesn't count how many people were Narcan back to life or anything.
Definitely, I would say double that then.
You know, but even with the Narcan today, you're finding
they have to do it 4 or 5 times.
I can speak for here in Jersey. Well, you know, if it's fentanyl, you know, sometimes it is that many. But if you're Narcan'd back, each county, you know, has like, you know, an overdose coordinator that contacts that person about getting them into treatment or following up with them or whatever that is. You know, at the
that's
time,
good.
People are mad that
Jersey's doing
Narcan them back to life. You know?
I know. Jersey's doing like huge, they have huge strides.
You know what, though? It's not just here. I mean, you know, we're finally getting on the bandwagon, but it's everywhere. It really is, you know, across the country. Pennsylvania, you know, is on board. It's a matter of offering as much treatment as we possibly can. People, you know, nobody woke up today and said, hey, I wanted to be an addict. Nobody. I can't think of one.
Nope. No.
Yeah. Keith Richards, but outside of him.
Oh, too soon?
Wait, he's still alive, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he'll ever die.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I'm lucky right now.
And he's the last one. You thought he would have died 40 years ago.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
And, you know, but yet he's still hanging in there, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and he's sober today, I believe.
Right. But it's not going to be that way. Like we were saying in the beginning, it's not going to be that way for people anymore. You know, like Byrne said, people are going out one time and that's it. You use one time and there's no more of these 40-year-old
heroin
addicts.
That's because it's not, I can speak for my generation. You know what I mean? And I'm going to be 61 this year, you know. You weren't smoking pot that was going to kill you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The drugs we were taking weren't going to kill you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Today, you don't know, man. There's so much out there coming from China with synthetics.
Well, and it's cheaper to make.
And you don't know what's in it. I mean, you know, I watched this one show. It was about two high school girls. They were both seniors. They were both like goody-goody, never did nothing, didn't drink, but they wanted to experiment, and they got two, you know, something synthetic like an LSD hallucinogen, and the one girl died and the other one, you know what I mean, was fine. And that was because you don't know what the dose is, you know what I mean, going into that. It's mm-hmm. not regulated by some drug company. I mean, you know,
no.
Some Chinese guy in a back garage, you know what I mean, with an eyedropper.
Mm-hmm. Made it.
So you don't know what you're taking. You know what I mean? Like I said, the drugs today are not the drugs of my generation. You know what I mean? Because that stuff wasn't killing you.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about, like, the weed you were smoking wasn't killing you. They have synthetic marijuana now.
Yeah,
that
I saw just recently too. Was like K9
that makes people like eat faces. Oh no, that's the salts.
Having concussions. My fiance had a concussion, became unconscious, and drove through someone's house just from smoking synthetic marijuana.
I actually thought that there was something in the news last week that there was like I don't know 10 or 12 people that died in one town from it.
Yeah. I think I remember that.
You think it's going to be something as simple as, like, weed, and it's not.
Right.
It's not.
It's why you all got to get on the essential oil bandwagon. Just saying.
No.
Here's the plug.
Just saying.
We made it to the plug.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to make it through without.
Yeah, I wanted to throw it in there a little bit. No, but, like, in reality, too, like, even I remember a few years ago, it was the bath salt thing, and I remember watching videos of, like, people literally becoming, like, zombies and eating faces. Like,
superhuman strength.
That is absurd. Why would you want to do that? But, you know, it's what you can get.
You know, it's not that you want to do it. It's that when you're doing right, that particular drug, you have just, no idea what effect that's
what you're
going to
get. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw some of those videos, and the closest thing that I could think of was, you know, in my time, they had what they called matchstick THC or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was some crazy chemical thing, but you did like a little thing of that and you were like that. You were like blinded, you know
right.
what I mean?
It's scary what's out there.
I couldn't understand why you would want to. I mean, I want to be in control. I don't want to be not in control.
Right.
But that's the part of, that's the disease. Like that is 100% active disease where it doesn't matter what you're doing. You don't care what it is. You're not.
You just don't want to feel that sick.
You're not chemically testing this bag of heroin.
No, you don't care.
And you're saying, give it to me.
I don't want to feel sick.
You're finding out, oh, this person overdosed from this and people are going to that spot.
Look for that.
And actually, you would be shocked that. You know, we have some contacts within the state police, okay? And in January, we had a red form for law enforcement, and we had the guys that run the lab. And every overdose, that sample goes to the state police lab.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never just heroin.
Oh, no.
It's heroin, fentanyl.
Or just straight fentanyl.
No. There's always a little bit of heroin, fentanyl, Xanax powder, rat poison. I mean, you'd be amazed at
everything
at the
under
stuff
the cabinet
that because they analyze every single one of them and mm-hmm. come up with how much of that, you know, is so much of each chemical.
Right.
And
we're
it's
so lucky.
Insane.
Mm-hmm. We are
we're
lucky.
So lucky.
We're lucky to be alive. And like, you know, my heart goes out too. Like there was the two people at the I believe it was a recovery house or a treatment facility. And now I need to put this out in the air. The newspapers are saying that it was two house managers that overdosed and died. That is not true. They were actually two like residents. They weren't managers of the facility or anything like that. They were residents in the house and they passed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like how crazy that story is and how that happened, how sad that is. How some media turns it into is recovery houses are bad. This is what happens in recovery houses. No, this is not what happens. They're an addict, just like anybody else. Like,
but this is the problem today. We need more treatment. We need more recovery houses.
Yep.
You know, this is what happens. You know, people, you know, parents send their kids off to treatment, and then they bring them back home. Same environment. It's the worst thing you could possibly do.
It sure is.
Nothing's changed. It's the same environment.
They say, you know, people, places,
you're still
and
there
things.
Enabling them, you know, when they come home.
They're still probably hiding spots.
It has to be sober living because they have to be accountable. And they have to be accountable to their peers. Yeah, you know, and I don't see any other way. I really don't.
Well, I wouldn't be where I'm at if I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to move an hour and a half away from home and go into this like kind of place, like a recovery house setting. You know, there are some people that can just come out of treatment and go home. I couldn't do it this time. I kept doing it and ended up back in treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, that was like probably the best experience of my life because it was kind of like a sink or swim moment.
Right.
You know, like, all right, time to step up, or like, do you really want this or not? Like, it was that initial burst of willingness to go there.
And look at where you are now.
Yeah.
You're able to leave, you know, this sober, clean living on a Thursday night and drive an hour away and come on a recovery radio show.
Yeah.
Like, how freaking cool is that?
Yeah.
And Nicole, you're able to drive with me like an hour. Are you tearing
no,
up?
No, I'm fine.
Just a little. I love
crying.
Nicole.
She's
be able to like drive up here like with me. And we met in recovery. Like you're one of my best friends, you know? You and Dower taught me how to have a friend and how to be a friend. And I will forever owe my gratitude to you guys for that.
I love you so much.
And I love you guys. And it's just so beautiful, like being able to be here with you guys, like two people that I've grown up with, literally, like legit grown up with, you know, sitting next to me, like here and experiencing this. And I know that we are almost running out of time. If there's anybody that wanted to call in for our last minute or so, it's 609-241-7103. And then we'll give that a little second. And thank you guys for being here.
Thanks for having me, Bern. It was great.
It was awesome. Yeah. Sean's so grown up.
No, it's so weird.
I'm grown up, guys.
You're so grown up. So before we end, I always like to end with a little saying or something. So the one I'm going to do is acceptance. And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact in my life, unacceptable to me, and I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. Until I can accept life on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and my attitudes. Thank you guys for listening. Have a great night, and we're
good
out.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
There comes a day when we all find out for ourselves the wants we have, the words to say. There's no one left to tell. All your mind, all your mind.
you know.